But according to one theory, the first life on Earth may have already been pretty developed.
Hello. Yeah, I am Professor Milton Wainwright. I'm from the Department of Molecular Biology and Biotechnology at the University of Sheffield. Now, my view, the one I'm working on, is that life came from space, so-called panspermia. Now, panspermia means seeds everywhere, so the idea is the cosmos is full of life, and it floats around, or it arrives in meteorites, and when it hits a planet, life is delivered there. So it's opposite to the kind of general chemical theory, which most scientists believe in, the idea that life originated on Earth. So we're saying that life does not necessarily, it could have done, that is, originate on Earth. We think life came in from space, and it continues to come in from space as we speak.
And why do you think this is the case?
One of the problems with the chemical origin of life is that it happened very quickly, and many people think that it was too fast for it to have evolved through the chemical theory. So we believe that as soon as the Earth was cool enough, imagine these organisms coming in all the time, as soon as the Earth cooled enough, then the organisms could take off, multiply and so on. And that would be very rapid.
How do you go about testing this or investigating this?
Well, neither theory can be really proven. The chemical theory, the idea that life came from chemicals, we can keep on playing with different combinations of chemicals, but we can't actually prove it. Now, what we're doing is we're sending balloons to the stratosphere to see if life is coming in. So the idea basically is that if life originated on Earth from panspermia, if it came in, then presumably it will be coming in now because nothing fundamentally has changed. So if we catch life coming in, then that's the possibility that life originated in this way.
Okay, so you're sending up these balloons, and how do they work, and what are you looking for?
Basically, the balloon goes up to a height of about 30 kilometres. It carries with it kind of a black box. Well, this opens in the stratosphere. We use GPS to locate the height and everything, the position and so on. And when this drawer opens, whatever is falling falls onto these very small stubs. And these stubs can go straight into a high-powered electron microscope. So anything that falls on the stubs, we can look at the surface, and this is how we do the work.
And how can you be sure what falls on the stubs is from outside of Earth?
Well, let me tell you what we found first. We found a number of very unusual organisms. We've not found them on Earth, and we can use a machine to detect that they are biological. Now, we don't know what they are, so we call them biological entities. The question is, of course, the critics will say, well, there's plenty of stuff on Earth, there's plenty of life on Earth, it's just floating up to this height. I might point out that 30 kilometres is a very, is an extreme height. When we do modelling studies, we find that the only particles that could reach this height would be around 5 microns. Now, the organisms we're finding are 40 microns, so they're much too big theoretically to go to that height. But the main reason we think they're coming in is very straightforward. We do not find on our samples any grass, pollen, fungus spores. Now, if this life was coming from Earth, our samplers would be covered in this material. Now, the other main reason is that some of the particles form impact events. That is, they form little craters. This means that they're coming at speed. They're not kind of lazily floating up from Earth. They're coming from somewhere at speed. And again, this is suggestive they're coming in from without.
These organisms, then, have you found DNA in them? And what? Tell me about them. What are they like?
Let me tell you why we know they're organisms, first of all. They have what we call bilateral symmetry. That means that they're equal on either side. Now, if this was a bit of fluff, then, you know, you wouldn't get this kind of bilateral symmetry. So think of yourself. You put a line down the middle of you, you're equal on either side. So that tells us something. That tells us they're organised. Now, the question then is, are they biological? Now, the electron microscope we use is very fancy. We can put a crosshair on our sample, press a button, and look at the element, the elemental composition. And we find it's made of carbon, oxygen, and a little nitrogen. Now, that is the exact signature for an organism. So they've got form, they've got structure, they're made of biological material, and this is why we think they are living organisms. Now, as I said before, we can't correlate them with any known organisms, but of course, you could argue that's just because we haven't found them. But they're there, they're out there, and they're coming in from the stratosphere.
What would you need to find, or what would you need to be able to do for people to start accepting that these things are indeed from outside of Earth?
Well, the first thing people could do was repeat our experiments, of course. Science is based on repetition. But what the kind of acid test that we would like to do is what's called an isotope fractionation. Basically, organisms made up of carbon with different isotopes. And if an organism came from space, it might have a different isotope ratio to the ones on Earth. So if we could find the machine that could do this, we could, again, put a crosshair on our sample, press a button, and get the isotope fractionation. And that would tell us whether it comes from space or Earth, possibly. The problem with all these kind of experiments is you kind of predict them and you think about them, and then something else, some other problem turns up. But that's a very, very difficult experiment, because these organisms are very small, so it's not easy.
If you're right and these things are from outside of Earth, then you have found the first evidence of alien life.
Yeah, right. The trouble is convincing people, and that's a big trouble. I mean, I give talks about this all over the world, and people are very sceptical, of course, as rightly they should be. But no one yet has kind of come up with a reason why our data is wrong. Now, we call this neopanspermia, neo for new. And we're saying, as you walk outside any building, you're covered with these organisms from space. They're coming in all the time. They're coming from the year dot. And this is where life, we believe, originated from.
So we're just setting everything, searching really hard for aliens, but we're just covered in them.
Yeah, of course, they're extremely small, so you wouldn't see them.
Are we being constantly showered in tiny aliens? You can keep the umbrellas at bay for now. Milton is the first to admit his ideas haven't gained acceptance in the scientific community, and people have offered alternative suggestions into how those structures, which closely resemble microscopic algae, could have got up that high from Earth. And as the saying goes, extraordinary claims require extraordinary evidence. But in terms of panspermia, while the idea itself hasn't been disproven, it still can't explain how that initial jump from chemistry to biology began. It merely moves our problem somewhere slightly more exotic.